The car, heaterless and drafty as it was, seemed like a haven in an uncharitable world, and I gripped the wheel tightly with my woolen-gloved hands for a few moments before opening the door. The wind almost tore the handle from my fingers as I got out, but I managed to crash the door shut before stumbling over the frozen mud to the gate. Muffled as I was in heavy coat and scarf pulled up to my ears, I could feel the icy gusts biting at my face, whipping up my nose, and hammering painfully into the air spaces in my head. I had driven through and, streaming-eyed, was about to get back into the car when I noticed something unusual. There was a frozen pond just off the path, and among the rime-covered rushes which fringed the dead opacity of the surface, a small object stood out, shiny black. I went over and looked closer. It was a tiny kitten, probably about 6 weeks old, huddled and immobile, eyes tightly closed. Bending down, I poked gently at the furry body. It must be dead. A morsel like this couldn't possibly survive in such cold. But no. There was a spark of life because the mouth opened soundlessly for a second, then closed. Quickly, I lifted the little creature and tucked it inside my coat. As I drove into the farmyard, I called to the farmer who was carrying two buckets out of the calf house. "I've got one of your kittens here, Mr. Butler. It must have strayed outside." Mr. Butler put down his buckets and looked blank.
"Kitten? We haven't got no kittens at present."
I showed him my find, and he looked more puzzled.
"Well, that's a rum un. There's no black cats on this spot. We've all sorts of colours, but no black uns."
"Well, he must have come from somewhere else," I said, "though I can't imagine anything so small travelling very far. It's rather mysterious." I held the kitten out, and he engulfed it with his big, work-roughened hand.
"Poor little beggar. He's only just alive. I'll take him into house and see if the missus can do aught for him."
In the farm kitchen, Mrs. Butler was all concern.
"Oh, what a shame."
She smoothed back the bedraggled hair with one finger.
"And it's got such a pretty face."
She looked up at me.
"What is it, anyway? A him or a her?"
I took a quick look behind the hind legs. "It's a Tom."
"Right,"
she said.
"I'll get some warm milk into him, but first of all, we'll give him the old cure."
She went over to the fireside oven on the big black kitchen range, opened the door, and popped him inside. I smiled. It was the classical procedure when newborn lambs were found suffering from cold and exposure. Into the oven they went, and the results were often dramatic. Mrs. Butler left the door partly open, and I could just see the little black figure inside. He didn't seem to care much what was happening to him. The next hour I spent in the byre wrestling with the hind feet of a cow. The cleats were overgrown and grossly misshapen and upturned, causing the animal to hobble along on her heels. My job was to par and hack away the excess horn, and my long-held opinion that the hind feet of a cow were never meant to be handled by man was thoroughly confirmed. We had a rope around the hock and the leg pulled up over a beam in the roof, but the leg still pistoned back and forth while I hung on till my teeth rattled. By the time I had finished, the sweat was running into my eyes and I had quite forgotten the cold day outside. Still, I thought, as I eased the kinks from my spine when I had finished, there were compensations. There was a satisfaction in the sight of the cow standing comfortably on two almost normal-looking feet.
"Well, that's summat like," Mr. Butler grunted. "Come in the house and wash your hands."
In the kitchen, as I bent over the brown earthenware sink, I kept glancing across at the oven. Mrs. Butler laughed.
"Oh, he's still with us. Come and have a look."
It was difficult to see the kitten in the dark interior, but when I spotted him, I put out my hand and touched him, and he turned his head toward me. "He's coming round," I said. "That hour in there has worked wonders."
"Doesn't often fail."
The farmer's wife lifted him out.
"I think he's a little tough un."
She began to spoon warm milk into the tiny mouth.
I reckon we'll have him lapping in a day or two.
You're going to keep him, then?
Oh, true, true we are. I'm going to call him Moses.
Moses?
Aye, you found him among the rushes, didn't you?
I laughed. That's right. It's a good name.